So today, I want to look, I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if you know me, it's familiar. But I had some questions, some good ones after last week. And I've been looking a lot there anyway. And I said, I want to just go through this whole chapter. Forever, how long it takes. And it's going to be perfect timing with the Holy Week coming up here soon, because everything you want to know about the death, burial, and resurrections in 1 Corinthians 15. So it's the perfect time of the year for it, but there's some very interesting topics. It's just not about one thing. It's not about just where you're on one subject and you go all the way through. We're going to hit a lot of different topics here. But the most important thing in it is the gospel. You're going to have the death, burial, and resurrection. You're going to have Paul talking about his timing of being a convert, being a believer, of preaching the gospel. There's going to be a lot of different things to go into this. So every Sunday, you're really doing a different topic. So, 1 Corinthians 15. And this is the longest, and maybe them, they're all important, but maybe the most important chapter in the book of 1 Corinthians. And one thing, it's our duty to have the message correct as believers. You hear a lot of different interpretations on how to be saved. You hear a lot of interpretations on what being a Christian is. You're going to hear a lot of different interpretations on the death, burial, and resurrection. It needs to be correct. Okay, and this is how the enemy operates and confuses, by bad doctrine. Okay, this is one where one salvation can be doubted with or can be proved with doctrine and not behavior. Okay, so many people believe salvation is about behavior. Well, I can't be saved because I did this, I did that, I'm not good enough, I need to clean myself up. If you go through the Old Testament, you'll see a lot of that. Okay, but in Paul's gospel and grace age now that we're in, it's about the doctrine. Okay, what we believe to be saved that really doesn't have anything to do with behavior or how perfect, how great you are individually. It concerned individuals also who did not believe in a resurrection. And there was a lot of that. And we have a lot of them today. We have a lot of them. They'll mention Jesus, but there's nothing about the resurrection. I don't know if they believe in it or not. They never talked about it. They talked about other things. It's also a correction and rebuke that comes after declaring the gospel from Paul. So there's going to be a lot of things. Now, the one thing that I've done, so you can get me here for copying, you know, if you want to. So I'll admit up front, I'm going to use an outline here from Grace Ambassadors. And their outlines are wonderful that they have. And I'm using their outline, and I'll add to it and take away. But I've kind of set it up through that for the first, for the entire chapter. Okay, so let's look at verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand." Okay, so the word "moreover," which is in the King James, means this is a continuation of two other places in the book where Paul wanted to settle a doctrinal issue, because they were getting hit from all sides on what saves, what you need to do to become a Christian. So Paul had to make that clear before he did anything else. So there's two places going into Corinthians 15 where Paul is trying to settle this issue, and he's confirming it here from two other times. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to look at verse 15 and 16. Okay, so remember here, he's making some clarification. All right, so 1 Corinthians 4, verses 15 and 16. Now remember, the Corinthians were carnal. That was the most carnal church that he had. Okay, they were going back in all kind of behaviors, but they also had the most spiritual gifts. So, you know, who are we to question God on these things? He knows how he works. So it says, for though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you don't have many, yet ye have not many fathers. For in Christ I have begotten you through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, be followers of me. So begotten means Paul brought forth or became their father. Okay? Their spiritual father through what? The gospel. He says you don't have anybody to take that fatherly role spiritually and to mold you and to teach you. And what's a parent do? It teaches a child the way it should go. And Paul says, you may have all these instructors, but you don't have anybody to do that. And he says, I'm that person for you through the gospel. Because the gospel is what makes the difference. But he also says, be followers of me. There's a lot of people that don't like Paul because they say he's arrogant. So when he says, he didn't say be followers of Christ. He said, be followers of me. And that can be very, very interesting. But when he says, be followers of me, he's saying, watch me. Paul not only said, do what I say, he said, do what I do. Watch me on how I follow Christ and pattern yourself after me. I feel like I've got enough confidence there. He said, well, you can follow me. It's impossible. We can try to be Christ-like, but on our best day, we can never come within 1,000 miles of being like Jesus Christ. He's the perfect exhibition of what we're to be, the perfect example. So Paul says, follow me just like I would follow Christ. Watch and learn and do. Okay? Now, turn to 1 Corinthians 14 also. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. So Paul is saying this. Number one, I've become your spiritual father through the gospel. And he's telling them that what he has and what he's been given is from the Lord. So the doctrine that he has is correct. So everything that he's getting ready to tell them has come from the Lord. There's no questions. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14, 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. Okay, we spoke last week where John said, keep my commandment or keep God's commandments. Paul says these are the commandments. These are the grace age commandments that were handed down to him from the Lord. You are to follow them. Okay? It's important. So, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. So go back to 1 Corinthians 15. And just keep your finger in 15 because that's where we're going to be going. We're going to be doing a lot of cross-referencing here. Okay? So the gospel. The gospel is everything. Okay? Like I said, your good works won't save you. Your how good you are to other people, how much you feed the poor, and we do this, and we believe in doing it. But anybody can do that. Any religion can do that. Any group can do that. The gospel, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and putting your saving faith in that is what makes the difference. That's what saves you. Okay? So the gospel is the good news. It is the simplest presentation of the preaching of the cross. And as we get into Holy Week, which will be coming up very soon, that's our most, the church, the Christianity, that's our most important week. That's our most sacred week, much more so than Christmas. What is it based around? It's based around Christ going to the cross, dying for a lost world. And I had to have it. I couldn't save myself. There's nothing good about me. I couldn't save myself. It had to be done through the perfect sacrifice, and that was Jesus Christ going to the cross. He was the only way. It's the only way it could have been done. So the good news is he went to the cross. And now we have an opportunity, which we would have never had any other way, to come into a relationship with God, live for him here, and not only that, have eternal life. Now, go to 1 Corinthians 1. Just keep your finger where you got it. Like I said, go to 1 Corinthians 1. If Giles don't tear the curtains down, we'll be in good. He thinks he's a lion today, and I said, well, Ken has the voice of Super Savage Beast. So, okay, 1 Corinthians 1:18. Okay. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So the cross saves us, and it is the power of God. Okay? God's power, only God has the power to save us. Like I said, the greatest miracle, we think about, we've had all these requests, and rightfully so. And as Cleo said, there have been so many people in our small county that have been healed that had cancer, that basically had a fatal diagnosis. And they're walking amongst today. They're helping. And as you said, not only with us, they're cancer-free, Cleo. But the greatest miracle is that God would save a lost person. That's the greatest miracle. So it takes power. Okay? So he says here, for those of us which are saved, it is the power of God. It's by the cross that the gospel of grace is provided. Turn to Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16. There's something to it. Remember I told you that the year that Jesus was crucified, there were 300 people, Jewish individuals in the Roman Empire who were crucified because they claimed to be the Messiah. 300 in that one year. Well, one of them stuck out. One of them was different. Okay? Those other 299 couldn't save you. You could believe all you wanted to in them. They never rose from the dead. They're not alive today. Only Jesus. So Romans 1:16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So it's the power of God unto what? Salvation. It's how we're saved. Okay? And it's available to all. Up till this time, it was only available to Israel. Okay? You had to be within Israel. That you had the commandments, you had the oracles, you had the priest, you had this animal sacrifice, you had the law, you had all that. And he says here, it went to them first, but now it's available for everybody. It's also for the Greek. So we all have that. Okay? Now, back to verse 15, and it says, also, I declare the gospel unto you, which I preached, and you have received, and it, and wherein ye stand. So not only do we have this, we stand firm in our belief, and not only our belief, but our faith. I put all my eternal faith in the gospel. Every single bit of it. I've made my mind up that my eternal security is going to rest on Christ's burial, death, burial, and resurrection. That's where I'm going to put it. Not on anything else. I have no faith in anything else. I don't have faith in man. I don't have faith in word. I certainly don't have faith in me. Okay? So only in the gospel. So, hang with me here. It says, wherein you stand. Okay? So turn to Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 2. So Paul says numerous times, this is what we stand in. Now when I say I stand, it means I am standing firm. I'm not backing down. This is where I'm planting my flag. Okay? Romans 1:16. Okay? For I am not... Wait a minute, did I give you the wrong one? I'm sorry. I've got so many verses down here. Romans 5:2, I'm sorry. Romans 5:2. I'm sorry. 1:16 I just did. I've got just all the way down through here. Romans 5:2, I'm sorry. By whom we also have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand. We have access to it. That's a big deal. Because like I said, up till now, we as non-Jewish individuals did not have it. We weren't in Israel. We didn't have it. So we have access by what? Faith. Access by faith into his grace. Somebody would say it's got to be easier than that. It's got to be harder than that. There's no way just having faith in something, you're going to have to go to these classes for 20 weeks and you're going to have to give this much money and you're going to have to join his church and you're going to have to go out and do these works and do all this. No, that's the beauty of it. It's just faith. Grace through faith. Okay? Into this grace where we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we stand in what? Grace through faith. That's what saves us. Okay? Now, there is an alternative to this. Okay? Now, if you say, I just don't think that's enough. Okay? We need to do something else. I don't think that's it. Well, there is an alternative. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 through 7. If we don't stand in grace through faith, there's another way. It's not going to work. But there's always another way. I had a kid in class once. We would give tests. He would say, I'd say, all right, if you need help, raise your hand and ask me. I'll help kind of guide you. I'll give you the answers, but I'll help guide you through it. Raise your hand and ask. He would never, ever raise his hand. Everybody else in class might. He wouldn't. I'd go ask him, are you okay? You need help? No, I got it. I got it. Do you need help? No, I got it. I asked him 3-4 times every test. Get it back, 15. Next test, 25. You know, so I asked him one time, I said, let me ask you something. I told you every time I'll help you. I ask you if you got it. Do you? And you never have it, but you tell me you're good. I said, what's the deal? He said, you got to have confidence, coach. Word for word, what he told me. Got to have confidence. Well, I was confident he was going to make about a 20. Okay? Confidence in the wrong thing. Okay? Confidence in the wrong thing will lead you down the wrong road. Spiritually, you'll be making 20s. Okay? So 1 Corinthians 2, 5 through 7 says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Okay? So your faith should not stand in wisdom, because the wisdom of men will tell you over and over and over there are other ways. Okay? You don't need to believe this stuff. There are other ways, and you hear it all the time. There are other ways to God. Okay? And it says here, your faith should not stand in that. We know what the truth is. Okay? Howbeit, we speak the wisdom to them among them that are perfect, yet not in the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of the world that come to naught. So what's he saying? The wisdom that we speak through grace, through faith, through the cross, it's perfect, and it's among those that's perfect. It was the perfect sacrifice. He died the perfect way by the prophecies that he was supposed to die. Jesus Christ could not, he was without sin. He could have not gone about this more perfectly than he did. But not only that, and this is unbelievable, you and I are seen by God as perfect. When I know I'm the farthest thing from it. Okay, and I've said this, if you want to see somebody buttoned up that's got it all under control and got it down, you need to go somewhere else. I don't think any of us are those people. We all struggle. But we are seen as God's perfect, or Christ's perfect righteousness through his blood. So he says, here it's perfect. But the other way comes to naught. Okay? And we know, like Jethro said, naught plus naught's naught. Okay? It comes to no good. It has zero effect. You put your faith in whatever else besides that you want to put it in, and it's not going to work. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto the glory. God knew beforehand, before the world was ever created, he knew there was going to be a body of Christ. He knew that Jesus would have to die on the cross to save our sins. He knew it would be available to the whole world. He made that mystery that it talks about right here, known to Paul. That through faith, through the death, burial, and resurrection, it's available for everybody. But it is the only way. The only way. Okay, now look at verse 2 in 1 Corinthians. Let's pray for that right quick. Lord, you know the situation with the siren going out, well, first responders. Lord, we just pray for whatever it is that you would offer safety and comfort. Lord, for whatever that is, we pray for the situation. We pray for the first responders. Pray all this in your name. Amen. All right, verse 2. By which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:2. I'm sorry, I should have said that before. 1 Corinthians 15:2. So we're going to go. We'll probably get today through verse 3 or 4, maybe. So verse 2. By which you are saved, if you keep in memory of what I have preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. Okay? It says you are saved. The gospel is what saves. Okay? It's not acknowledging God. Yeah, I believe there's a God. I believe there's a Jesus. There's more to it than that. It's not being a good person. It's not doing better. I'll do better. It's not what it's about. All that emphasis goes on us. It goes on me. My emphasis should not be on me. When it comes to salvation, my emphasis is on Christ. It's what he done. It's nothing that I've done. It saves when it is preached and taught. It's not a lifestyle. It's not a desire. It's not a feeling. Okay? I feel that I've been saved. I remember back when I was a teenager. There was a guy who was, I guess, kind of witnessing. I'll give him credit. He witnessed, came up. You know, sometimes that can be awkward, especially if you're not a Christian. Okay, somebody probably needs to be. Probably needs to make you think. But he said, are you a Christian? And I said, well, I tried to do my best. And he said, well, I thought you did. That's great. What's that mean? There's more to it than I'm trying to do my best. Okay? That's not it. That was the perfect time for him to say, we need to have a talk here. It's about what Christ did. It's not about you doing your best. Okay? It saves from something. It saves from your sins. It must be heard and trusted in order to be saved. Now keep your thumb where you've got it. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. So we're out of verse 2 in 1 Corinthians, we're looking at it says where you are saved. This is what saved. This is the most important thing that could ever happen to a person. Judy, even last week, we spoke about Tate's family, about Jerry and about that family. And we said, obviously, we're praying for the cancer situation. That's life and death. But the family's salvation is the most important thing. It is, because that's eternity. So that's the most important. Ephesians 1:13 says, in whom you also trusted. After that, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Okay? That's in a nutshell. That's a chronological order of what happens. We heard the word of truth. And that's important. He said truth. Paul just wasn't giving them any gospel, any, you know, directive here. Well, you do the best. Make somebody a chocolate pie and take it to them. None of that stuff. It was the gospel, believing in the death, burial, and resurrection. He said, you've heard it. You believed it was the gospel of your salvation. And after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's one of our favorite verses here. And most people know it by heart. That we believe that once you're saved, once you do that, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit until eternity. That you don't lose that. It's not something I have today and lose this afternoon. And I've got to be saved all over again. Okay? It's not that person, Judy. Well, I got baptized again for about the 10th, or I got saved again for about the 10th time. I heard somebody the other day, they got baptized again, and I said, how many is that? They said, I think it's about 7. You know? So, it's not that. It is, you are sealed, you believe, you're sealed. Christ's death was enough because he did it right. He didn't halfway go about it. He did it right, and if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me. So I'm sealed by that until the day of judgment, okay? Now verse 2 says, you don't have to turn back. It says, by which you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach to you, unless you have believed in vain. That's the end of verse 2. So let's look at the believing in vain part. Remember what we said. He's already spoken about man's wisdom, about other ways that they can tell you. Just because you believe in something doesn't believe that you believe in the right thing. Got to have confidence, coach. It's not that deal, okay? Look at Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9. He said, unless you have believed in vain. I can believe in a lot of stuff. It's not a 50-50 deal. This is a multiple choice. You can have a million different options, but your answer is going to be A. Okay? There's no other way around it. So Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Now remember this, Galatians. Paul is teaching to the church of Galatia. And he has had those come in and say, look, it's not enough that you believe that Jesus went to the cross and died and was buried. You put your faith in that. You got to have circumcision. You got to keep the law. You got to keep the commandments. You got to do all this. Faith plus this and this and this and this and this and this. And all these add-ons. Okay? It's like going and buying something. And you get this tax, and you get this tax, and you get this tax, and you get this tax. And you're like, hold on a minute. I thought when I got this hotel room, it was going to be $89.99. How did we get $172.44 out of it? Okay? It's just the add-ons, the add-ons, the add-ons, the add-ons. And Paul says, no. Okay? What I taught you, it's so simple, you think it's too, you end up thinking it's too simple, right? I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And he says, you've taken this another gospel, you've removed yourself from who? Not from me, from God. Okay? You've removed yourself from it. Now, I don't believe that they lost their salvation, but he said, you have put yourself in a tough spot. You've removed yourself. Why? This soon, just days after we've spoken about the gospel, you've come along and believed something else. My dad was in a nursing home up here. His mind, his body wasn't in good shape. His mind was sharp. He could tell you how many smoke breaks every nurse took. He could tell you who drove what car. He could tell you what ships everybody worked. He knew everybody in there. He knew everybody's family in there. He was sharp. But, so, you know, with the nursing home, you have a different group come in religiously. You'll have, everybody will come in on Sundays. Jehovah's Witnesses will come in on Monday. Seventh-day Adventists will come in on Saturday. Church of Christ comes in on Wednesday. Methodists come in on Tuesday, everything. So, he'd shake his head, and he said, these poor people up here, he said, they join every different one of them. They'll get baptized on Sunday, and he said, they'll join the Jehovah's Witnesses on Monday. And then they'll join the Seventh-day Adventists on Saturday. They'll just go, they go, he said, and of course, you know, they're old, they're in the nursing home, a lot of them are mine, and you understand that, right? But, man, there's people walking around in perfectly good minds. They don't know. They have no confidence. They don't know. They're from one thing to another. They're not sure. And that's one thing when I got saved I wanted to do. I wanted to make sure. And that's, I really went into the scriptures and things. How can I know? Did I do it the right way? How can I know? That's something I really wanted to make sure about. Okay, so we can. Now, verse 7. He said, you have a marvel that you, so soon you removed yourself from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. They pervert it, okay? But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Paul said, I don't care who it is. I don't care how famous they are. If Billy Graham came in here today and preached any other gospel except Jesus Christ and him crucified, God said, he's accursed from me. Okay? You don't believe it. Do not get sidetracked on this other stuff. As we said before you, I say, I now again, if any man preach any other gospel, he says it twice. It's so important, he says it again. If any other man preach any other gospel unto you, then what you have received, let him be accursed. People need to be very, very, very careful. What they teach, what they preach, what they witness to others, because God will judge them if they have sold counterfeits to people and caused people to believe the wrong things that led to their eternal destruction. It is important that our doctrine on salvation is without flaw. Very important. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 11. 2 Corinthians 4:11. He's basically saying the same thing here. A little lighter language. 2 Corinthians 4:11. Okay? For if he that comes preaches another gospel, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or any other gospel, which you have not accepted, you might bear well with him, the King James says. The other one says, do not tolerate it. Okay? Don't tolerate it. You know, and that's one thing about the Bible Center, and I've had other people say that here, you know, that just any other preacher that came in would not be, people here know. I know that what people ask me after church, I know the first time I ever did a Wednesday night, I'm like, man, I need to have, I think I did a wrong verse there. Yeah. Son, it's, trust me, it's in there somewhere. So, my P's and Q's, I've got to keep that straight. And so, that may be the perfect timing for this. If people here know the Bible, they bring their Bibles. They know it. And so, I think if a preacher or a teacher came in here and they gave you a bunch of false doctrine, you would be able to pick it up like that. You would know. So we have to be on guard for that. The only way is to study, because the doctrine's important. Let me give you one more here. Cross your fingers. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. And I'll go back and I'll get that right verse for you. I'll let you know what that was. 1 Corinthians 15:12-14. Now if Christ is preached, and like I said, a lot of this is going to be perfect as we come into the Holy Week, because there's a lot here on the resurrection. Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? So Paul was running into a bunch of that here. There's no resurrection. Not only was Christ resurrected, we're not going to be resurrected. Okay? That's our hope. That's our eternal hope. That we will be in a resurrection. We will see our friends, our safe family members, and most important, we'll see Jesus. We'll spend an eternity in heaven. That's our hope. But if there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. So this is important. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. Now that leads to this. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also in vain. So many people who claim the Christian faith, and they've been very famous, have not believed in a resurrection. I told you, Thomas Jefferson, the Jeffersonian Bible. I'll say it again, it's about that thick. Cut out everything he didn't believe in. Didn't believe in miracles, didn't believe in virgin birth, didn't believe in the resurrection. And he said, if you don't believe in a resurrection, your faith's in vain. What is there besides that? That's what makes it different. I might as well be a Hindu if there's no resurrection. I might as well be Buddhist. The Buddha didn't come back. He overate, died of a heart attack, and we never seen him again. Okay? So, the resurrection is everything. Now, go back up to verse 3 and 4. I told you we'd try to get through the first few. We may not get through verse 3. We'll see. For I handed down to you as of first importance, when also that I, excuse me, start back. For I handed down to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Now, in verse 1 and 2, Paul's saying, hey, let me lay the case here. The gospel is what you've got to believe in. Now, he hasn't said what it is yet, but it's the only thing you can believe in. Don't believe in anything else. There's one thing that will save you. You don't need to be confused. And now when we get verse 3 and 4 and on, he's going to say, this is it. Okay, I've handed down to you of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He not only died, he died according to the Scriptures. Okay? He also, you can write this down, you don't have to turn, there's a couple more verses. He also says he received it in 1 Corinthians 11:23, what Jesus said when he was breaking bread, because Jesus prophesied his own death. In Ephesians 3:2, the administration of God's grace was given him to speak the gospel to Paul. Colossians 1:25, the administration was given to him by God to preach his word. Okay? So, look at Galatians 1:11 through 12. And I've told you this. There was a difference in what Paul taught and what the 12 taught. Now, they were all on the same team. They taught Christ as Messiah to Israel. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. Okay? So he's saying, what I got here, I didn't go to seminary to get it. Okay? I didn't get it through some Bible class. Somebody didn't tell me about it and I believed it. You know, you think about this. Wouldn't it be natural when Paul was saved on the road to Damascus in Acts 9 that Paul would go to the apostles and stay with them and learn? Doesn't that make sense? That's what I would do. I mean, just thinking just on my plans, but God's plans and my plans are not the same. So God's plans were, I'm taking you off the scene here for 3 years. And the risen Christ gave him the mysteries. There's no mention of the body of Christ. There's no mention of grace through faith in the risen Savior. There's none of that to get to Paul. You look anywhere through the Bible, you won't find it. You won't find it. Okay? So Galatians 1, 11 through 12 says, for I would have you know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel which was preached by me is not of human invention. I didn't read it in a book. I didn't get it in Sunday school. I didn't get it in seminary. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it. Okay? He's clear. Well, how'd he get it? I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. As we said, Christ was with him, the risen Christ. And I've heard Les Feldick and others say the words Paul says here ought to be put in red letters when he tells us how to be saved. Because, not because Paul said it, because it came from Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, Christ died for our sins. Okay? Verse 3, it was first importance that I received that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. It's the good news. Okay? Galatians 1, 3 and 4 says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who did what? Gave himself for our sins so that he might rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. He rescued us. Not only from our sins, but from the world. Okay? There's a lot that went into that. Okay? He saved us. When he saved me from everything. And most importantly, he saved me from myself. Okay? So, when he died, He rescued us, and when he died on that cross, and that's the only way. Turn to Romans 5. So remember what we're saying in verse 3, that Christ died for our sins. As prophesied, this was the gospel being fulfilled. So Romans 5, 6 through 8. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. I was helpless. In earlier verses in Romans, Paul says we were slaves to our sin. We have no, you know, you hear people say, well, I'm going to give this up. I'm going to give some, man, I've had this problem, I've got this problem, I'm going to give it up. They don't give it up. We didn't have the power to do it. The devil said, do it. We say do it. Our mind says do it. We do it. Okay? But when we're saved, we got a new mind, a new heart, a new will. Okay? For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. No, he just didn't die. He died at the right time. There were several occasions in Jesus' ministry where they tried to kill him. They tried to throw him off the cliff. You remember that one time? There were several. And it talks about that the Jewish leaders sought to kill him. If Jesus had been thrown off that cliff and died, okay, we'd be lost in our sins. That would not have fit the requirements that had to be done for him to save us for sins. He had to die a certain way. As ghastly and horrible as it was, I wish he could have died a quick death. I wish he could have. But it had to be done the right time, the right way, for the right reason. For one will hardly die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for the very people that nailed him to the cross. Christ died for the very people that said, away with him. We don't want anything to do with him. Crucified. He died for the same people that put the crown of thorns on his head. He died for the same people that spit on him. As Lehman used to say, I went for years, he said, I didn't want anything to do with him. David Sisson didn't want anything to do with him either. He died for me, and I wanted nothing whatsoever to do with him. Nothing. It's easy to die for people you love. You take a bullet for your family. Try doing it for somebody you don't love. Somebody says something about us or ignores us or something like that, man, we hang on to that for 30 years. We've never gone through what Jesus went through, and he died for those people. We'll see him coming down the street. We'll cross on the other side. We do. It's human nature. So nothing is added to our faith for our salvation. Let me read this and we'll be through. Okay? Ephesians 2, 8, 9. He died for us. Said nothing is added to our faith for salvation now because of God's grace. So Ephesians 2, 8, 9. Another familiar. You can say these in your sleep, a lot of them. So how easy is it? Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, for by grace are you saved. Of works? Of water baptism, of tithing, of church membership? No. Grace through faith. Not of yourselves. Nothing you can do. It is the gift of God, a free gift. God died, or Jesus died on the cross. It was a free gift. I didn't ask for it. I didn't earn it. It's like a gift. Somebody, you don't ask for a Christmas. Well, some of us do. You don't ask for a Christmas gift. You're given a gift, whether you've earned it or not. Okay? Same way here. And he gave the greatest gift. He gave his son. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. There was nothing that I did or I can do to deserve and dying, and there's nothing that I did or I can do to save myself. Faith's object is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Okay? Romans 4:25 says this, and you can write it down. If you want to turn, fine. I'm going to close with this. Romans 4:25. Paul says it clearly here, what the death of Christ did and what the resurrection did. Christ, who was delivered for our offenses, so he was delivered for our offenses. My sins meant he had to die on the cross. Somebody had to pay that animal sacrifice, or had to pay that sacrifice. They'd done animal sacrifices forever, and it didn't work. Okay? Poor old animals. All I know is I'd have to go do one, have sacrificed one, and by 12:30, I'd have to go get another one. Okay? And it's just over and over and over and over. It's a repeated process. Right? Honey, I promise I'll wash the dishes. Don't ever get done. So it happens over and over and over. But he was delivered one time. So no more need for this. One time. And was raised again for our justification. Now, that saved us. But when he resurrected, that was our justification. What's justification? Just as we had never sinned. Christ died for our sins. That resurrection sealed us. Okay? We're so much in this, as like I said, as we head into the Holy Week here soon. And you could talk about this forever. But the only hope I have is in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. When it talks about the peace of God, that's why I feel the peace of God, because I know I can't, not only can I not save myself, I can't unsave myself. I mean, that's a relief. I'm going to screw it up somewhere. But it's not about that. It's about what Christ did for me. So next week, we're going to start according to the scriptures, and we'll move on. But there's going to be so much here. So Martha Jo, if you'll come and play. And I don't know.